Welcome to Vital Connections On Air, a podcast brought to you by University of Minnesota Extension Center for Community Vitality that explores the trends and topics important to communities and leaders throughout Minnesota. My name is Christy Kalavig, and today we are joined by Judy Halterstrom, the Executive Director of the Litchfield Chamber of Commerce, and David Kruger, the Executive Director of the Meeker Development Corporation. They are here to tell us today about the exciting things happening in Litchfield, Minnesota, where they're working to rewrite their community's narrative through the Make It Litchfield initiative. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
We are talking about community narratives and their value. What has been Litchfield's narrative, and what is the narrative that you're working to create?
Having grown up here in Litchfield and then leaving for a short time for educational purposes and a few work experiences, and now coming back, or now it's been several years, but coming back here to Litchfield, what I saw growing up was a thriving downtown community. We came to Litchfield on Thursday nights or Friday nights, whatever the business night was, and the whole entire county would come together, and you'd visit, you'd probably have supper somewhere, have a lot of activities and things going on. And with, of course, the time changes and how people get together, we look presently at kind of a declining downtown. Of course, we're not going to have the shopping that we used to have in Litchfield, but I think there are some ways that we can help make some changes in our community to improve it and maybe provide more of a welcoming community to some of our newcomers that are coming here, allow them the opportunity to help us build Litchfield as a thriving community in a different format than it was probably 40 years ago.
And tell me a little bit about the size of Litchfield and what your current community looks like. When you refer to newcomers, are you seeing changes in your population?
You know, when I was growing up, we always talked about how we had about 5,500 people in our community. Right now, I believe we're at about 6,500. And Dave, you're the statistics person in your organization. So I know you haven't been around that long, but share a little bit about
that.
Yeah,
I would say it's somewhere between 6,200 and 6,500, somewhere in that range. Of course, people move in and out all the time. But yeah, I would say it's roughly in that ballpark.
And as far as the county goes, mm-hmm. I think that has not changed drastically.
No, we're about 22,500 approximately countywide, and we have seen some decline, but not any drastic decline. Not like something like Lincoln County or somewhere like that. When you look at the Southwest Minnesota Initiative Foundation, 18 counties. The only county that actually grew in the last decade is Lyon County. So all the other 18 counties have lost population. But that is not to say that the larger cities within those counties have not gained population.
But also I think, one of the issues or concerns that we've been looking at is our declining enrollment at our schools here in Litchfield particularly. And that just has to do, I even heard on the radio this morning that the birth rates we're down, and that does have something to do with that. So I think what we need to look at within the Chamber, economic development, is talking about those newcomers coming. We need to attract new families that will come and provide the opportunities that they're looking for in a community to be able to stay here and then help our schools.
And it sounds like you've really taken a very proactive approach in identifying what you want to do and even created a program and are participating in a pilot called Make It Litchfield. Can you tell us a little bit about what led you to becoming involved in that and what you're hoping to do with that project?
Well, I think some of this really got started when Ben Winchester had come down and talked about rewriting the rural narrative. And, it's really, I think Ben sort of opened the eyes to a lot of people that rural is not as desperate as people seem to think, and the narrative out there that rural has been shrinking and diminishing, when really the populations have overall remained very close to the same, overall. And that in many cases, including Litchfield, Lots of jobs have been retained and modernized, and overall, the income is higher in Litchfield area and manufacturing, as well as Meeker County, than many of the rural counties around us. So there actually is a higher rate of that in income levels. So I think that, you know, after hearing some of this and rewriting that picture about, you know, we're not, I guess, as desperate as some people would like rural to be, we wanted to take a look at how do we really market our community and get the word out there that, you know, we have a lot to offer, and we want to compete, and we want to be out there to toot our horn about what's going on in Meeker County as well as Litchfield. You know, I think we started and applied for the Blanded Leadership. The 24 people that went agreed that this is something we should be working on. So when we were talked to by Neil Lynchide about, this program, and we call it Make It Litchfield, you know, we want to be a part of that. And so the bricks already been laid, I guess, for the path. And so we have a group of people from Blanded who will facilitate, be ready to take on, and we already actually have started that. So I'll let Judy kind of jump in here a little bit.
All right. The Marketing Hometown America program was kind of presented to the chamber office if we would like to be involved in it. And Dave Kruger and myself work on so many programs together, which has been beneficial to, I believe, our county and our city. And so we got together with a couple individuals, and Ben was there and Neil Lynchide was there, and they asked us, would you like to take this program and run with it? And we both said, I believe it fits well with the Blanded program. So we have a steering committee that is working together. There's about six of us on the steering committee. And we together formed our study circles. And so we have 15 study circles that are currently meeting. And they're in various stages of the game. I know one group has completed all four of the sessions. And that facilitator is willing to take on another one. So then that does give us the 15 groups. Some are in session one, some I think are up to session three. So it's varying stages right now, but my particular group will be meeting for the second time. There's session two this week, and I think yours is two, Dave. Yep. Today, mine is tomorrow. And I have learned a great deal already with just session one, talking about what is your connection to the community. And I've been very surprised at the responses from some of the members of my group, some that have lived in Litchfield all their lives, and they still don't feel connected to this community. Yet somebody that has only been in the community for 5-6 years says, you know, I have been very connected because I have done this and I have done that, and I've gotten involved in different groups. So I think we're going to learn a lot from the Marketing Hometown America program.
So out of 15 groups, we have about 130 people that are involved at this point. So we're like Judy said, we're in the stage of capturing all that information. It will be unveiled at the Chamber Business Showcase. And then those outcomes will really go to nonprofit organizations as well as government to foster changes that the focus groups had identified. So there's some real, so we get some consensus from the groups, we prioritize, and then we hand it off to actionable groups that can actually foster change for the future. So I think that's where this is different than other programs that often turn three-ring binders and put them back on the shelf. This is actually action-oriented, and we feel that we have the momentum, the grassroots leadership, folks in place, and the passion to finish up what we identified.
I think, you know, one thing that reminds, when you said community, this is community driven. It is not organization, or it's not executive directors, right, that are driving this whole force of what we want to come out of this. So it is that grassroots. It is community driven, and it will be community led. The executive directors of those organizations that work with it whether it's the city administrator, Dave in economic development, or myself in the chamber, the sheriff's department for safety purposes, it is going to be community driven and community led.
And I know that people who are listening to us are going to be wondering, how did you recruit those 130 people?
Well, I came up having been in this community for many years. I kind of came up with a list of about 200 people, whether they be involved in the Chamber of Commerce as chamber members and some of their employees. Dave came up with a list. Each one of those 15 facilitators could go out and get their own names. So for instance, one person who is a new city council member, she went knocking door to door and said, are you new in the community? You're my neighbor, you're in my district, or you're in my
ward.
I couldn't think of the word. In my ward, are you new? Because I don't even know who you are. Would you like to be in a study circle? And so it is a very, I keep calling it to different people. I say, if my group is very eclectic. I have a college student, and I have someone that's lived here all their lives and is probably about 75 years old. And so I looked, and each of us looked to get a very well-rounded group of people. It's not, like I said before, it is very community-based. It is not just your store owners, your business owners, or your executive directors that are in these study circles. So I guess the answer to your question is we just went out and found these people and asked. I think there's a lot of people that sit back and say, well, nobody ever asked me to be a part of this. And so everybody took a chance to go out and ask people to be a part of this. We also have been talking about it on a radio program that the Chamber has. It's called Chamber Chat on Tuesdays. Dave comes once a month to my Chamber Chat, but we have literally invited the entire community to be a part of this if they want to be. And I have had probably about 20 or so phone calls that have come to the Chamber office saying, can I get in a group? So we feel that it has been advertised enough, I guess, plus going out, just that personal ask.
Well, I think one of the things we also want to do, because I always say that you don't know what you don't know. And this is where I think that, you know, when Ben Winchester talks often about the newcomers, it's not necessarily that we're overly focused on them, but it is a group we're interested in knowing more about, because oftentimes we don't know much about them. And so if you want to recruit, if you want to retain, and you want those people to stay in the school district, create families, we need to understand them better and their wants and needs and for the community. So we're really focused in on that. I also want to mention just briefly that none of this could have really been possible without the Meeker County Extension Committee. They're the ones that really helped fund some of this and encourage us to really take a look at this. So I didn't want to leave them out of that conversation. But we really do feel that, again, the information is not just going to be collected, disseminated, and then dropped. That we have enough people on the ground that will help continue to foster and bring these topics up continuously until those that can create action can actually get it done.
And so how hard has it been for you to stay motivated? It sounds like you had some great cheerleaders between the Extension Committee, and Ben and Neil have been there to support you along the way. But how do you continue to energize yourselves as a group to keep doing this very important work?
I think it's somewhat easy right now because Judy and I, this is really kind of, we're passionate about this. This is our career paths and whatnot. But I'm hearing from common people out there how fired up they are about this, how their voice matters, and there's a real buzz in the community about a positive about this program. And so that energizes me, and I assume Judy, she can talk about that in a minute, but I think it keeps everyone moving forward, rather than when it's just a few at the table, and then you don't really have that energy coming from the grassroots.
I fully agree with what all that you said, and I think the thing that motivates me the most is that I just know this is going to be a great program, and it's going to create a better community for the people that live here. And I think I'm energized from the passion of the people. Just hearing from some of the facilitators, having gone through their groups, the things that are coming out of this, it's coming to the surface, and you know that they will be addressed, because it's energizing the different service groups. It's energizing the different groups, such as, like I brought up earlier, to the Sheriff's Department. One of the programs, one of the sessions talks about how does your community stack up? And we talk about safety. Do you feel safe in this community? And if people are saying they don't, our Sheriff's Department is truly, and the Police Department are saying, I want to know that. So you know that it's going to go further. And I think that's what keeps the momentum going for me. I'm looking forward to my second session, and then I'm looking forward to the next one. I think that is what is motivating me the most, is the people that are participating in the group.
Well, you know something's working right when you don't hear complaints,
yeah,
but you hear people creating solutions. And I've been around politics a long time, and I've been around community things for a long time. And it's highly unusual not to hear more complaining than solutions. In this case, I'm hearing a lot more attitude towards solutions than I am complaining. And that is something that I think we need to really highlight, because I've rarely seen a program roll out that it is positive, positive, positive.
Right. And I think most of the people that I have heard to talk about this is, they know we have a great community, but they want a better community.
Yes.
They want an even better community. And so they feel that passion as well as we do.
And so I'm hearing that you're going to be presenting your results at your showcase in May, but it also sounds like there's maybe some other things that are already bubbling up and happening. Can you talk to that at all?
Sure. I think, you know, when we get through these four sessions and things that are coming up, I've had reports from a couple of the facilitators saying, well, don't you think we could start working on that right now? And so we want to caution them too, because we don't want to put the cart before the horse. And so we just keep saying, let's follow the process. And I think that's what was most intriguing to me about this program, is that there was a clear-cut process in how this program works, and it's all laid out for you. It was tried and true from the University of Nebraska Extension Service, and it was tried and true from North Dakota and South Dakota. And so we're looking at it here for Minnesota, that we can take a look at that. So I'm trying to slow some of them down to say, let's not put the cart before the horse, but let's put that as they, in our facilitator program, they call put it in the parking lot. Let's put it on a sheet of paper that's called the parking lot, and let's put it there and not lose sight of that program that we maybe want to have as a result of it. So let's compile all of this and keep on that process that, you know, they're all good ideas and examples of things that could be done. So let's write those down, but stay on that process. So when we get to that session four, it's creating a marketing plan. So we can take session 1 to 3 and then put that all together as a marketing plan for Litchfield.
And so if somebody else is listening to this podcast and thinking, wow, this sounds like something we want to do here where we live, what is something that you have learned that you would pass on to that next community that's starting this process?
That's a good question. I think what Neil has asked us to do is talk about this process and figure out what went well and what needs to be improved on. I think what it would be is, again, looking at your community, getting a small steering group together to figure out where you want to go with it, and then try to build that social capital of people. It really helped. Dave and I were both participants in Blandon. If you have gone through a Blandon leadership program, I would highly recommend you take a look at this, because that was the stepping stone for us to lead into this program, to have those key leaders in your community. So again, then to pick up that process and move it forward.
Yeah, I would say having that social capital infrastructure is really important. Because you know you can start a program, but if you don't have enough people to facilitate, and you don't have enough actionable people that can help move the findings later, then it stalls out. And so, really, having a program or graduates of something like Blandon or a Vision 2040 group or something along those lines, where you have people in place that can help facilitate, help identify, recruit, and then actually move those actionable steps later, then oftentimes those things end up on the shelf of the thriving binder. So you really need to make sure that social capital infrastructure is kind of there, or you build it before you enter into a program like this. That's my opinion on that. Mm-hmm.
Great insight. Thank you both so much for spending some time with me today and sharing your story with all of our listeners. And I look forward to checking back in with you after you've put together your report and finding out what the next steps are for Make It Litchfield. Just to kind of wrap up our conversation today, for folks that are listening, what should they come to Litchfield and Meeker County to check out in the next few months?
Well, we have a beautiful lake now that has great fishing. We have a couple of businesses downtown that are really thriving. Of course, we need some more, but we want you to come and check out, at least the Chamber of Commerce wants you to come and check out our business community. We have some interesting businesses. We have some thrift stores. We have antique store. We have a great kind of a general variety store that is really fun. It has a quilt shop with it. It has some clothing. It has households. It's just a great fun place to come. I think Litchfield is a great community that is so located close to Minneapolis. It's another one of the things that I think Ben Winchester talked about, is that those three circles. You can live here in Litchfield because it's a great community to live in. You can work in a community that might be in Litchfield or within a 20-30 mile radius, and we have a lot of great things to play with in a radius of about 60 miles. Minneapolis is very close by. Wilmer, St. Cloud, Hutchinson, we're right in the center of a great regional opportunity for many things.
Yeah, I think, you know, on day trips, there's a lot to do in this county in general. I think Dassel is a great history center that's very unique to go and look at. There's different spots you can look at. The world's largest ball of twine museum is in Darwin, not too far away from Litchfield. Litchfield has, right outside Litchfield also, it's called the Fort, and that's a very interesting, older style fort situation. You can look it up online, and it's really kind of a cool thing. Litchfield has a great downtown in the sense that has very unique buildings. Historical downtown. There's lots of things that way. It's a great place just to look at as well if you don't know much about it, or you look at a place to move to, those type of things. Hog in the Road is a restaurant in Grove City. It was featured on WCCO and other news programs, one of the best restaurants in Minnesota in a very small town. Around Eden Valley and Watkins, there's lots of lakes and campgrounds, as well as Litchfield. There's lots to do. We are an area here where the national waterfall come through, and so there's a national designation. So if you're a bird watcher, things like that, it's a migration area. So there's just lots of different things to look at and to do. You just have to kind of seek them out a little bit.
One of the other ones that I want to mention, and I would be remiss to not mention it, is we have the Grand Army of the Republic Hall, GAR Hall, which is, if you're a history buff, Civil War Museum, and it's one of, I think, very few in the United States. I think there's only maybe three or four of them, and they provide Civil War history all the way up to Meeker County history. It's a great museum. We have a beautiful park downtown, and that is available at any time. We have one of the best, that was a WCCO, one of the best playgrounds in Minnesota, out by our beautiful lake Ripley. And so we have many different opportunities for families and seniors to come.
And I can attest to the great park that you have there by the lake. It's wonderful. So definitely lots of things to check out. And you guys are doing a great job of telling your story already by pointing out all the opportunities that are available. Thank you again so much for joining us. And good luck with the rest of the work around Make It Litchfield.
Thank you.
Thank you again to our guests, Judy Halterstrom and David Kruger, for sharing Litchfield's story with us. Take time to learn about what is happening in Litchfield and all the communities of Meeker County by visiting litch.com, L-I-T-C-H.com, and the Meeker County Development Corporation at meekercodevcorp.com. You can also find them on your favorite social media sites. Learn more about University of Minnesota Extension Center for Community Vitality at extension.umn.edu/community, where you can learn more about today's topic in our Leadership and Civic Engagement alumni blog. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date on new research and resources for communities and those who lead them. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Vital Connections on Air.